Well, I don't know about you, but the last week or so has been quite disorienting. As the COVID-19 virus continues to spread across our country, and our nation seeks to respond well to it, it seems like the whole country is shutting down. We got word yesterday that our daughter Olivia's preschool is going to be closed for the next few weeks, and my mom was involved in a theater production with high school students in Michigan, and they did their first show Wednesday night and had to cancel for the rest of the rest of the shows through the weekend, and of course they were devastated. Of course we're not meeting today for church, and I'm here in an empty sanctuary, and that's a bit disorienting. My family went to Aldi on Friday and went to buy some toilet paper, and all that was left was the very thin stuff, the stuff you'd almost rather not even bother using. And hand sanitizer is becoming a hot commodity. There's a lot of uneasiness. And it's periods of uneasiness and uncertainty that I refer to as desert periods. Times in which the future and the way forward is a bit unknown. And in these periods of unknown, often we are driven to fear, but if not outright fear, we become worried, we certainly become anxious. It's a time for us that is a bit like the Israelites as they found themselves in the desert for 40 years. Their future was uncertain, and they had to live day by day in trust that the Lord was going to care for them and provide for them. Our scripture reading from Exodus 17 comes at the very earliest stages of God's relationship with Israel. They did not know Yahweh very well when Moses came to them in slavery in Egypt. They were not familiar with Yahweh, and so it took a long process of God proving to the Israelites that He is trustworthy and that they should follow Him. So previously in the book of Exodus, Israel was in slavery, and Moses came and he said, in the name of Yahweh, let my people go. And God miraculously led Israel out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea for them, and they passed on dry land. They watched God destroy the Egyptian Empire army, one of the strongest in the world at that time. And they experienced the highest of mountaintops there in seeing this wonderful victory from this God, Yahweh, who was promising to be their God. And so in the chapter 15 of Exodus, the Israelites move from songs of victory, you know, praising the Lord for their victory, to suddenly the road's a bit rockier because they are now in the desert and they don't have clean water to drink. And so, of course, God, who's brought them and led them out of Egypt, provides for them. He leads them to this place of springs, to a place of many palm trees for shade, and He makes the Israelites a promise. He says, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord and do what is right in His sight and give heed to His commandments and keep all of His statutes, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God who heals you." So if you read Exodus, you'll notice there's this pattern that of all the plagues that God did to the Egyptians to convince them to let His people go, he does the opposite for the Israelites as they are moving through the desert. So in our verse here, when Moses takes his staff, the same staff that turned the Nile into blood, he takes this staff and provides water for the Israelites. So in chapter 15, God provides water, but they can't stay at the oasis. They have to keep moving on. And so in chapter 16, the Israelites follow the Lord away from the oasis and back out into uncertainty and into the desert. And there they grow hungry. They've gone 15 days without food, and so the people, they rebel against Moses. They say, "If only we had just died in Egypt. We had plenty of bread in Egypt." Which that doesn't sound like people who nearly a month ago had seen God part the sea and destroy the Egyptians and give them water. But still, in uncertainty, the Israelites lose their bearings and they cry out. And they regret even leaving slavery in Egypt. But God provides. God provides bread and he provides quail. And the people don't even have to work for it. It just falls from the ground. Again, reversing the curses. If the crops in Egypt were destroyed, now God is providing food just sitting there on the ground for the Israelites. But it comes with a catch. And God says, you cannot take more than you need. Don't stock up. Don't take bread for the next couple of weeks. Only take it for a day. And in this, learn to trust me. So that brings us to chapter 17. Again, consider all that God has done leading the Israelites up to chapter 17. You know, he leads them out from the oasis and back into the desert, but then he provides manna and leads them from there out to a new place in the desert where this time the problem is, again, they don't have drinking water. And again, here in the desert where it's scorching hot, and people are without water to drink and quench their thirst, they lose their bearings. They forget what God has done for them. They forget what God has promised them. God has led them out of slavery, he has fed them in the desert, and he's promised to continue to lead them to the promised land if they will trust him. So we see a pattern here with God's people in Exodus, where crisis hits, the people lose sight of where they've been and where they're going, and they panic. Why is this? Why do they panic? Why do we panic? Why do we lose our bearings when we hit periods of uncertainty? Well, as humans, we love to think that we are in control. We love to think that if we can just gather enough manna off the ground that we'll always have food to eat. Or if we can just squirt enough hand sanitizer into our hands, we'll never get sick. Or if we just follow the right path, we will not get lost in the desert, but we'll find an oasis. And yet the truth is that none of us are in control. It's all an illusion. We have no control. In the desert or during a pandemic, times that disorient us and make us think that they disorient us and make us feel like the way is uncertain. In these times, we're reminded that we are not in control. All the money that we gained in the stock market can be lost in a day. The house that we've built with our hands can burn overnight. We think that we can choose our destiny and impact our destiny, but the truth is that we live on a rock that's spinning 1,000 miles an hour, and it's moving around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. Imagine how fast that is. Are we really in control? These desert seasons, whether it be with the coronavirus or whether we're literally wandering in a desert without water, they remind us that we are not in control. And these periods of uncertainty, when we lose our bearings and we forget what God has done and we forget what God has promised, these periods of uncertainty can actually, if we will learn to trust and if we will remember, they can be times of tremendous transformation for us. Times of tremendous growth where we recognize that we are not in control, but God is. God who made heaven and earth, God who brought Israel out of slavery, God who came to us, God who is making all things new. If we trust in him, these desert periods will not undo us, but they will strengthen us. I often go in the week, I will study the scripture passage on Monday or Tuesday, and maybe midweek I'll bring my thoughts to Michaela and say, You know, what ideas do you have? What is this, what stories does this make you think of? And this past week, Michaela brought me back to the time when we found out that we were having our firstborn, Olivia. You see, we were young when we had Olivia. We were in our first year of marriage, or when we found out we were in our first year of marriage. We had just bought a home in Ferndale, Michigan. We were young, nervous homeowners. I was planning to leave my job, which was stable, and start seminary, and we were going to rely on Michaela's teaching income. And so it was the week that I had quit my job, or the week that I was going to be quitting my job, and I was driving home, and Michaela called me on the phone. And her tone, by the tone of her voice, I could tell something was happening. And she said, are you almost home yet? I said, no, I'll be there in a minute. So she said, okay, I'll talk to you when you get here. And I paused for a minute after hanging up the phone, and I said, I think I'm going to call her back. So I called her right away, and she took a deep breath, and she said, we're having a baby. And we know now what a tremendous blessing it has been, what a gift Olivia Lee is to our family and to the world. But in that moment, I was disoriented. It was not our plan to have a baby yet at this point. It was our plan to finish seminary and to get things in order and to have control before having a baby. And so we were nervous. We were disoriented. And my cousin Andrew came to visit us that weekend. And I remember sitting at our kitchen table and telling him how nervous we were. And coincidentally, it was raining really hard outside, and it had been raining for much of the week. And so we went to bed that night, and Andrew was sleeping in our finished basement. And I was awoken at 5 in the morning by Andrew saying, we've got trouble down here. You got to come down here. And lo and behold, with all the rain, our sewer was backing up, and gallons of black water was being dumped into our finished basement of this house that we had just bought and that we didn't know if we could afford. It was unsettling. It was disorienting. It was a desert season for us. And we finally got the basement gutted out, repainted, re-drywalled. Despite all of our fears, the house was, we could afford the house, it was fine. We could afford the repairs, it was fine. God was taking care of us. We weren't actually being dumb with our finances like we felt we were. And we eventually got away, we left, and we went to my family's house in Kansas for New Year's, and Michaela wrote this in her journal. She said, am I drowning? Or am I being baptized? Such a beautiful question. I mean, it really highlights this circumstance that we're in now, in this state of panic in our country, and other periods of uncertainty that we go through. Times where we're being formed and God is working in us, it's hard to tell the difference between being drowned and being baptized. Because baptism is the beginning of new life in Christ. It is a death with Christ as we're dunked under the water, and it is a new life and being raised out of the water to life in Christ. And as it can feel like we're drowning, as we're being dunked into the water, as the waters surge and rage around us. The scriptures repeatedly use the imagery of desert and waves, or the seas, for times of transformation in the scriptures. You know, consider the Red Sea that God parted for the Israelites as they passed through. The psalmist writes, you calm the roaring of the seas. And of course, in the Gospels, Jesus tells the storm, peace, be still. David writes in Psalm 63, my God, you're my God. I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Of course, the Israelites are formed and their trust is built upon Yahweh as they have to trust him in the desert. So waters and desert, they're disorienting places. Baptismal waters can feel like they're drowning us. The journey through the desert leaves us sunburned and our skin cracked and our tongues parched. It's incredibly disorienting. And as broken human beings as we are, we often lose our bearings in these periods. And like the Israelites cried out to God and to Moses, we often say, is the Lord among us or is he not? Is God going to let me drown in these waters? Is God going to leave me behind in the desert? Is God with me or is he not? And it's in these desert seasons that are so disorienting that God invites us to regain our bearings, to reorient ourselves and remember two things. Number one, what God has done. Number two, what God has promised. What God has done and what he has promised. So what has God done? Well, in Scripture, God rescued the Israelites from Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. God did not abandon Israel in the desert. Ultimately, he did not abandon the world. For he came to us. He came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. As Eugene Peterson says in The Message in John 1, the Word became flesh and made his home in the neighborhood with us. God has joined us in our neighborhood to be with us. He has sent his Holy Spirit upon us. No matter how hot the desert is or how big the waves become, we can know and we can have confidence that God has said, I am with you. Jesus says to the storms in our life, be still. And certainly, I know when I look on my life, I can remember time after time after time when I was in a period of uncertainty, which has usually been the birth of each of my children. In a period of uncertainty, God has been incredibly faithful, God has provided, and God has led us to a place of further intimacy with him and greater trust in him. So what has God done for you? What can you remember and look back on and say, God was faithful? So we can remember in times of uncertainty what God has done. Secondly, we can remember what God has promised. And the scriptures are full of this promise. From the promise that we talked about last week to Abraham, God promised Abraham he would be a great nation. And to the people of Israel, God promised, I will send you a Messiah. And Jesus promises to return and to set this world right, to lead us to the promised land. In our gospel reading today, Jesus says to the woman at the well, whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. God promises us life. No matter what happens here on earth, no matter how widespread this virus becomes, no matter how far the economy tanks at any point, God promises us life. And he promises us a bigger perspective that we can trust in outside of our year and moment in time. And we can trust that as Jesus rose from the grave, we too will rise with him. And he promises to return, and we can trust that he will return and this broken world will be made new. And no matter what happens in this life, we know when Christ returns and calls us from the grave, we together will feast in paradise. As we so often sing, we will feast in the house of Zion. So may we get our bearings again today, friends. May we no longer be disoriented. When the storms rage, when the sun burns, when sickness is all around us, may we fix our eyes on Jesus. May we always remember and meditate and fix our hope on what God has done and what God has promised. Glory to God. Amen.